Mark. We'll go to the last chapter of Mark, which is chapter 16. And I'm not telling you what we're going to talk about yet over the next few weeks. I'll have a little fun here before I tell you. Mark 16, go to verse 17 towards the end of that chapter. Mark 16, we'll read verse 17 and verse 18. You know there? Anybody there? You found Mark? Okay, all right. Let's make sure. Mark 16, 17. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Okay, so let you see which one of these we're going to do tonight. I think we're going to cast out devils tonight. Not doing that one. How about speak with new tongues? That's not happening either. I thought we'd take up some serpents tonight. Not doing that one either. How about let's see if we can drink something poisonous and maybe it won't hurt us. Lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. I'm sorry to disappoint you, but I don't think you're going to see any of those things tonight. But why is it that a lot of people would come to a church expecting to see those things? It is in the Bible. Did you all see it? It's right there. Casting out devils, speaking new tongues, taking up serpents, drinking deadly things, laying hands on the sick. So what we'll do here for the next few weeks is take a look at signs, wonders, and miracles in the Bible, and let's get the biblical perspective on these things for where we are today. So I thought I'd tell you a little story here, something that happened a few years ago. It's a real news article, actually, I'm going to read to you. This is from February of 2014. You ready to, it's sad. Some of you will laugh, but this is sad. A Kentucky preacher famous for handling snakes during religious services has died after being bitten by a poisonous snake at his church. This really happened. Jamie Coots was bitten at his church in Middlesboro, Kentucky, and died after he refused to go to the hospital for further treatment, according to police. The Middlesboro police said they believe Coots was 42 years old, and he was the star of a TV show on National Geographic called, you ready for this, Snake Salvation. I don't remember watching that. It was a few years ago. But it featured this 42-year-old man, Coots, and he worked. It showed how he worked to preserve his way of religious life at the Full Gospel Tabernacle in Jesus' Name. That's the name of his church. He told ABC News during an earlier interview that he and his followers believe that God calls upon them to handle venomous serpents and to drink other poisons. If bitten, Coots and his parishioners refuse medical treatment because they believe that their fate is in God's hands. Police said they received a call about a snake bite injury around 8:30 from Coots' church. However, when emergency responders arrived at the scene, Coots had already driven home about 1 to 2 miles away from his church. Police and medical personnel then went to his home and found that Coots had been bitten on his hand. For the next 40 minutes, medical personnel stayed with Coots and tried to persuade him to go to the hospital for further medical attention, but he refused. And about an hour after they finally just gave up and they said, we can't make this guy go. So they left, and about an hour later, he died. So this never would have happened if this man, and many others like him, had a clear understanding of two things. Number one, how to rightly divide God's word, which we're supposed to do, 2 Timothy 2:15. Number two, if this guy would have had a clear understanding of the role of signs, wonders, and miracles as they occur, they have occurred in the Bible, will occur in the future to an extent, and what their role is right now, which you don't see a lot of the things that you read in the Bible happen today, do you? It's okay to acknowledge that, and there's a reason why, so we'll get into that. So our world, and I hate to include Christians, but this is the truth. Many Christians are very confused when it comes to signs, wonders, and miracles. So let's see if we can clear the air here. Tonight you're going to get a little introduction to this, and then we'll get into some details about things in the Old Testament, things in Jesus' time in the New Testament, and then we'll take a look at the tribulation, which is going to be a very interesting time for signs and wonders. Glad we're not going to be here for that. Some interesting things going on there, but we'll get to that here in a few weeks. So some things I was considering as I prepared. When we think of signs, wonders, and miracles, we're usually talking about things that violate established laws of nature, right? So I'll give you a few things that are common that most people know about in the Bible. When the Israelites crossed the Red Sea, how did they cross the Red Sea? The big body of water. They didn't take a boat across. How did they cross? The Red Sea split, and it was a wall of water on each side, and they walked across on dry ground. So seconds after the waters opened up, the ground is dry. That is a miracle. You live in Florida, it rains a lot. The ground gets really wet and it takes a while to dry. So that's a miracle. How about the healings that you find? There's healings in the Old Testament and there's healings in the New Testament. And miraculous healings. One moment somebody is sick, almost ready to die, and the next moment they're as healthy as can be. And then you have in the Old and New Testament, people being raised from the dead. I've never seen anybody raised from the dead, have you? I doubt that you have. No, you haven't seen it. Why is it that we read about these things in the Bible, but we don't see them today? We're going to try to answer those questions. I won't answer all that today, tonight, but we'll get a good start on this, Lord willing. So one of the things you want to remember when you study your Bible, and I've mentioned this before, but it's always worth repeating, is the first time you see something in the Bible, whether it's a word or a topic, take special note, because oftentimes it sets a precedent for the rest of the Bible, how that particular topic or word goes. So I thought that we'd look at this about signs first. So signs. First point today, we're going to do first point signs, second point wonders, third point miracles, just a little introduction to these three things. You will see they all have some things in common. So go to Genesis 1. Good place to start, Genesis 1. It's always good to look at the first time a word shows up, so we're looking at the word sign. So Genesis 1, and go down there to verse 14. It's actually the word signs, plural. First time that shows up. Verse 14. And God said, this is on day 4 of creation, and God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for what? Signs, and for seasons, and for days and years. Okay, it's a good place to start because I know that it is a miracle that God, the creation week is a miracle in itself, and I understand that. But the sun and the moon are the two lights being described here, and they are made for what? Signs. It says that. So I was trying to think, what is the miraculous nature of the sun and the moon other than what they do on an everyday basis is miraculous that God set that up like that. I get that. But I was trying to think a little deeper on this. And the sun and the moon are a sign to mark the start and finish of the day. You know the day starts and you know the day ends because of what? The sunrise and the sunset. So it's a sign. I think you have quite a miraculous thing every time you have the sunrise and the sunset. It's a wonderful picture of the S-O-N, isn't it? How he rose from the dead, and then when the sun sets, it obviously is dark. Picture of his death and burial. Very interesting. So I thought that was kind of neat there. The sun and the moon mark the start and finish of the day. They're a sign. Now go to the one that you're probably thinking more on when you think of signs. Go to Exodus chapter 4. So this is the next time you see something about signs in your Bible after Genesis 1. Go to Exodus chapter 4. You might want to keep a finger in Exodus. We're going to keep coming back there tonight. So, Exodus 4, this is, just recently read this in my daily Bible reading. I always get fired up reading about the Israelites getting out of Egypt and then all the signs and wonders that precede that. It's really neat. Go to chapter 4, verse 1. This is right after the Lord has called Moses, and Moses says, verse 1, Moses answered and said, behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee. So he's afraid. And the Lord said unto him, what is that in thine hand? And he said, a rod. And he said, cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent, and Moses fled from before that. Now, what would you call that right there? A rod turning into a serpent? You ever seen that before? What is that? Isn't that a miracle? Look at verse 4. We'll move down here and read a few more verses. Verse 4, and the Lord said unto Moses, put forth thine hand and take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand and caught it and became a rod in his hand. So serpent rod, back and forth there, from the serpent to the rod. Verse 5, that they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, hath appeared unto thee. And the Lord said furthermore unto him, put now thine hand into thy bosom. And he put his hand into his bosom, and when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous as snow. It's a pretty miraculous thing there. Verse 7, and he said, put thine hand into thy bosom again. And he put his hand into his bosom again and plucked it out of his bosom. And behold, it was turned again as his other flesh. Now watch verse 8. And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe thee, neither hearken to the voice of the first sign, that they will believe the voice of the latter sign. Verse 9, and it shall come to pass, if they will not believe also these two signs, neither hearken unto thy voice, that thou shalt take of the water of the river and pour it upon the dry land, and the water which thou takest out of the river shall become blood upon the dry land. And that happened as well. So you know what you could say after reading that? To the Jew in the Old Testament, seeing was believing. God gave them a sign so that they would do what? You saw that there in a couple verses. They would believe. So let me ask you a question. Isn't our walk with God today a walk by faith? Isn't that it? You ever seen God? You ever seen the Lord Jesus Christ? No. It's a walk of faith. For the Jew, you could say to a large extent it was a walk of sight. In the Old Testament, it was a walk of sight. Let me show you that real quick. Keep your finger in Exodus because we're going to be coming back here. But go to the New Testament here for a minute. 1 Corinthians 1. Just put some pieces of the puzzle together here. Why is it that you have all these miracles in the Old Testament and then the time of Jesus Christ, even in Acts, and then they seem to not be present so much anymore? We're going to answer all that. So go to verse 21 of 1 Corinthians 1. Paul talking about the wisdom of this world versus the wisdom of God. And verse 21, 1 Corinthians 1, verse 21, and it says, for after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Let me stop there before I read the next verse. How were you saved? Didn't somebody, you're right, Ashley, but didn't somebody preach to you? And it may have been a one-on-one deal, but they were proclaiming what God said, what Jesus Christ did for you, right? And then you are faced with a decision. And if you're here tonight, probably that was a decision that you exercised faith. Notice it calls it, what does it call preaching in that verse? Foolishness. So the world walks in here tonight. The unsaved world walks in. They think you're wasting your time here tonight because what is this to them? Foolishness, right? But that's what God used to save us. Isn't that cool? Verse 22. For the Jews require what? But and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified unto the Jews a stumbling block and unto the Greeks foolishness. And we'll get into more on that, those verses here in the weeks ahead here. But I wanted to show you verse 22. It tells you very plainly, the Jews require what? They require a sign. Now go over to 2 Corinthians 5, next book over, 2 Corinthians 5, this thing about our walk of faith, just to show you. And you understand, when you're reading the Pauline epistles, you're reading some things that are very, very specifically addressed to Christians living in the church age. So we want to take heed. Read the whole Bible, but understand Paul had a special ministry to the church, and he told us some things that are really, really important to us in this present age. Look at verse 6, 2 Corinthians 5, 6. Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. Where are you right now? Are you in the body or out of the body? You're in the body, so what's that mean? You're absent from the Lord. If you're saved, when you die, you'll no longer be in your body, but you will be present with. Amen to that. What a great hope we've got if we were to die. I know we don't look forward to it. Well, maybe we do. We should. Paul did. Shouldn't be scared of it, that's for sure. He says, verse 7, for we walk by. Not by what? Okay, but we just read some verses there that indicate that Jew in the Old Testament was given a lot of signs. Think about the words. S-I-G-N. S-I-G-H-T. Sign. Sight. Something you can see. And you can see in the Old Testament when they saw these things, they said, there must be a God who is taking special care of us because this is not normal what's happening. The Red Sea, the Passover, all those things. Okay, so let's go next thing here. Let's go back to the Old Testament. Go back to Exodus again. So there's some things on signs. Signs. Whole lot more we'll take a look at again. This is just a little introduction. How about wonders? I looked at the first time that word wonder shows up. And it shows up in the book of Exodus. So you had signs for the second time in Exodus. Wonders showing up for the first time in Exodus. And obviously this is the chapter where God miraculously delivers, or the book where God miraculously delivers the Israelites out of Egypt, and he does it miraculously. Chapter 3, verse 20. Exodus chapter 3. And go down there to look at verse 19, what the Lord tells Moses here about the Pharaoh. He says, and I'm sure that the king of Egypt will not let you go, no, not by a mighty hand. And I will stretch out my hand and smite Egypt with all my what? Wonders, which I will do in the midst thereof. And after that, he will let you go. Isn't that interesting? Take a look at that usage there of wonders. To the Jew living in Egypt at that time, it was an awesome thing to watch, wasn't it? But to the Egyptians, when God performed these wonders, how was it for them? It's pretty awful. Because even some of those plagues affected only them. And the Israelites, totally untouched. So wonders, they happened for the first time in Egypt. It happened against the Egyptians and specifically against the Pharaoh. But it made the Israelites say, man, the Lord is on our side. It was a sign to them. Or in this case, it was a wonder to them. Go to the next chapter, chapter 4. We saw signs in this chapter. Look down there at verse 21. Wonders again here. 4:21. And the Lord said unto Moses, when thou goest to return into Egypt, see that thou do all these wonders before Pharaoh. Now watch what he says here. Which I have put in thine hand. But I will harden his heart that he shall not let the people go. So interesting. Those wonders made the Israelites say, yeah, the Lord's helping us out. He's going to get us out of here. What an awesome thing this is. But to the Pharaoh, what did it do? It hardened his heart toward the Lord. And isn't that... Do you know the Lord is still in the business of hardening hearts, by the way? And it happens today when somebody rejects God's word. Back here in the Old Testament with Pharaoh, it happened when he rejected, I'm not going to do what God is trying to get me to do here because I don't want these Israelites leaving my country. So a hardening of the heart there with Pharaoh. Go to chapter 7, a little bit more here on wonders. Chapter 7. And verse 1, and the Lord said unto Moses, see, I have made thee a god to Pharaoh, and Aaron thy brother shall be thy prophet. Thou shalt speak all that I command thee. And Aaron thy brother shall speak unto Pharaoh that he send the children of Israel out of his land. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart and multiply, watch them together here, my signs and wonders in the land of Egypt. But Pharaoh shall not hearken unto you, that I may lay my hand upon Egypt and bring forth mine armies and my children that my people, the children of Israel, out of the land of Egypt by great judgment. So again, judgment for the Egyptians, deliverance for the Israelites. These signs and wonders were used for both of those things, just for one something different for each group there, the Egyptians and the Israelites. Go to chapter 11. More on wonders, and then we'll head over to the New Testament on this thing about signs and wonders. Chapter 11, just a little introductory stuff on signs, wonders, miracles. Go to chapter 11, go down there to verse 9. And the Lord said unto Moses, Pharaoh shall not hearken unto you, that my wonders may be multiplied in the land of Egypt. And Moses and Pharaoh did all these wonders before Pharaoh, and the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart so that he would not let the children of Israel go out of his land. And again, a hardening versus a deliverance for the Israelites. Okay, so we're going to look at more detail on Old Testament signs and wonders next week. And some specific acts that the Lord performed. But we're just getting some info here first. Go to the New Testament. Go to Matthew 24. A few, about three places here in the New Testament on wonders. And you'll see signs and wonders mentioned together with a couple of these. Matthew 24. Now, you ought to know when you read the Gospels. This is really important to know if you don't know. When you read the Gospels, you're still under an Old Testament economy. You know that? Because a testament, the New Testament, according to Hebrews 9, is not enforced until the testator dies. Guess who the testator is? The Lord Jesus Christ. So that's why you'll see the Lord referring often to things pertaining to the Old Testament prior to his death, burial, resurrection. So if you want to get real specific, I mean, I know that Matthew begins the New Testament with the way that we have the books arranged, but really the Old Testament ends when the Lord Jesus Christ dies on the cross. It's very important to understand when just rightly dividing things in your Bible. Matthew 24. Look at verse 24. 24, 24. This is the Lord Jesus Christ talking here. Go back to 23, get a little context. Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall rise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great what? Signs and wonders. Now watch this. Insomuch that, if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. You know what you've had, and this has been, I'd say probably more so in the last 20 years than prior to that, but you had some people arrive on the scene that said that they were Jesus Christ. Remember David Koresh? He's one of many. And according to your Bible, these guys are false Christs and false prophets. As we get closer to the tribulation, I would guess that we're going to see more and more people show up that will proclaim to be Jesus Christ. And more people show up that will claim to be prophets that can perform, at least say they can perform, signs and wonders. Have you ever heard of Benny Hinn? So he claims to be able to perform signs and wonders and miracles. Interesting, we had a fellow that attended here for a little while. If I remember right, he either got saved in a Benny Hinn church or right after he got saved, maybe it was right after he got saved, started going to a Benny Hinn church, and he said, he's sitting there in one of the services, and it got real weird with what Benny Hinn was saying was about to happen with the signs, wonders, and miracles. And the guy said, he said, man, Holy Spirit just told me, get out of here. And he said, he'd been there going there for a while, maybe a year or so. And he said, he got out of there and never went back. And then the Lord began to show him a bunch of foolishness. So very interesting. But how many people were there, though? Thousands of people whenever he shows up somewhere to preach. All right, so go to Acts chapter 2. Now, something about the book of Acts you want to know. Really important in understanding your Bible. The book of Acts is a transition book. In fact, you'll see this. We'll go through this probably in 2 weeks. I'll show you how there's a lot of signs, wonders, and miracles early in the book. And then as you get around the middle of the book, they tend to not be so many. And by the end of the book, poor old Paul has got a real problem. And he can't heal himself and nobody can heal him. So it's a transition when you get to the book of Acts. And what's happening in the book of Acts, that early church was Jewish, wasn't it? In the first part of Acts, it was all Jews or proselyte, Gentiles who were proselyte Jews. And then it changes in the book of Acts, going from the Jew to the Gentile. So there's a lot of transitions going on in Acts. A lot of signs and wonders early, not so many as you go through and then when you get to the end. So this is early, and look at what happens here in Acts chapter 2, verse 22. And you want to pay close attention to who this is addressed to. This is Peter preaching, 2:22. Ye men of who? Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by, watch it, miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. And then he goes on to say how you people who saw this and all that he did are the same ones that delivered into the Romans to be crucified. So that's addressed to the Israelites. Now, very, very plain there. Ye men of Israel. And then it mentions the Lord Jesus Christ connected with three things. Signs, wonders, and miracles. Now, I'll take a look at this probably in 2 weeks, but do you remember the Lord saying in the book of Matthew, earlier on in the book of Matthew, I think it's chapter 10, he said that he was sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And that was his primary ministry and mission. He did minister to Gentiles along the way. Remember the lady that said, hey, I'll take the crumbs from the master's table. I'll be like a dog. And the Lord dealt with her. And she realized where she stood with this whole situation with the Jew and the Gentile. But you'll see that the Lord primarily went to the Jew. And what did the Lord Jesus Christ do to convince them that he was not an ordinary man, he's God in the flesh? What did he do? Perform signs, wonders, and miracles. They had no excuse. No excuse for not realizing who he was. Okay, go to Acts just a few verses down. 2:43. And you'll see this again, early part of the book of Acts. So notice what it says. Verse 43 says, and fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by who? The apostles. They had the ability, the Lord Jesus Christ gave them the ability to perform signs, wonders, and miracles. Now, you've got some folks that believe in this thing called apostolic succession. You ever hear that? And they would say there are apostles today that can do the same things, the signs and the wonders that the 12 did. Problem with that, I don't see any scriptures anywhere about those abilities being passed down anywhere. Oh, by the way, to be an apostle, what'd you have to see? The resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. No, none of these guys today who call themselves apostles saw the Lord Jesus Christ risen from the dead. None of them. So they're liars. So they're false apostles, which there's going to be more of them as we get closer to the rapture and tribulation. Okay, so there's some things about wonders. So let's hit this thing about miracles. Doing good on time here. Go back to Exodus. And notice here, a bunch of mentions of signs, wonders, and miracles in the book of Exodus. And again, the book of Genesis, you don't really find anything out of the ordinary miraculous. You don't. But when you get to Exodus, oh, that's where it really starts, and it's incredible. A lot of fun to read. And again, this, if you think about it, in the book of Genesis, I know you can trace the lineage of the Israelites all the way to Abraham. But really, you go Abraham, in Genesis, you go Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the 12 boys, and then the last several chapters of Genesis are all about Joseph, and then Joseph in Egypt, and then the whole family goes to Egypt. So really, in the book of Genesis, the whole family ends up in Egypt, and then the book of Exodus, the Lord gets them out, and he gets them out miraculously. So you just see a lot of history in Genesis to set up what's going to happen in Exodus to figure out why they got into Egypt in the first place. Okay, so go to Exodus chapter 7 and go down there to verse 8 and 9. You'll see this matches what we saw earlier about the signs. Look at Exodus 7, verse 8. And the Lord spake unto Moses and to Aaron, saying, when Pharaoh shall speak unto you, saying, show a miracle. First time miracle shows up in your Bible. Show a miracle for you. Then thou shalt say unto Aaron, take thy rod and cast it before Pharaoh, and it shall become a serpent. Okay? So there's the first time you see miracle, and who's it connected with? Again, it's connected with these Israelites. And I know they're doing the miracle before Pharaoh, but if you remember, we saw that God had Moses do it before the Israelites first, and as a result of that, they believed that the Lord had sent it. Okay, go to Numbers. Let's see something over here in Numbers, and you'll see miracles again connected with Israel. And you say, man, there's a lot of scriptures on the same thing. I know. And the reason why is I don't want you to think that miracles, signs, and wonders are connected with the church. They're not. They're connected in the Old Testament with the Jew. And then when the Lord Jesus Christ shows up, they're connected with him. And isn't he a Jew? Of course. And he showed those to his people. So just trying to drive the nail here. So go to Numbers chapter 14. And you'll see another mention of miracles here. 14, verse 22. Numbers chapter 14, verse 22. This is after they sent the spies in to spy out the land. 22, the Lord talking here, he says, because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 times and have not hearkened to my voice, surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoke me see it. This is really sad here when you think about it. The Lord is saying all these people that saw miracles in Egypt were not allowed to go in the promised land. And you know what? It's so sad. The same people who saw the Red Sea part, couldn't trust God to defeat the giants. I think it's probably, if I had to rate miracles, a bigger miracle would be the Red Sea parting and crossing on dry land. For the Lord to take out a few giants, that'd been nothing, right? So it's interesting, those same people ended up suffering because of their lack of belief. And what was it that God used to get them to believe to begin with? Signs, wonders, and miracles. And they wouldn't believe that the Lord would do that again for them. Go to Judges. How about this fella Gideon over here in the book of Judges? Gideon lived at a time where the miracles had been absent for a while. Judges chapter 6. The Israelites had lived a time and they talked about the miracles they used to see, but they were living in a time where they weren't seeing anything. And you'll see this from Gideon here, the statement he makes here. Go down there to verse 11, 6:11. Judges chapter 6, verse 11. 6:11, and there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak which was in Ophrah that pertained unto Joash the Abiezrite, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. So poor guy is he's kind of a cowardly type guy, scared. Verse 12, and the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. Now you go on here, and old Gideon has a hard time believing that the Lord can use him. Guess what the Lord does to convince him that he's going to use him? You know what he does? Gideon's fleece. Read about that? Miracles take place to convince Gideon that God's going to use him. So he said, man, where's all the miracles? And then the Lord had to show him some miracles to prove to him. It was a sign to show him that he was going to be used greatly by the Lord. All right, go to New Testament. One more thing here on miracles, and then we'll try to wrap things up here. Go to Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6. I think this will help us kind of put together even some more on why the Lord performed all those miracles in Egypt before the Pharaoh. Look at 6:46. I'm going to read a few verses here. This is right after. I mean, right after, just a few verses before the Lord fed 5,000 people with just a few loaves and fishes. So that was a miracle, wasn't it? Have you ever thought about that miracle? I'll spend a little more time on this in a couple weeks, but this is fascinating. Who did the Lord use to distribute the fishes and the bread, the loaves? The disciples, right? They got baskets, and they're taking them around, and they're passing out food, right? So you assume it's being passed down the row, or they're going from person to person. I wonder if they looked in there and said, man, we're almost out. And then they passed it, and then they looked at it again and said, no, we're not. Had to be something like that, right? It's a miraculous thing, because that would not be normal to be able to feed that many people with five loaves and two fishes. But I always wonder about what that was like. Those guys just kept seeing the basket full over and over again. Hey, spiritually, you know what you got if you got a Bible? You got a full basket all the time, don't you? You should never go hungry. You should never go hungry for spiritual food, because you got plenty right here. It never runs out. Okay, go to Mark chapter 6, 46. Let's start right there. Right after the 5,000 are fed. And when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. And when even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land. And he saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them, walking upon the sea, and would have passed by them. Now, that's miraculous, isn't it? You ever see anybody walk on water? It's a miracle. He's able to do that. That's not a natural thing that you would think that the laws of nature would allow for, but that's the Lord Jesus Christ. He can do that. Verse 49. When they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit and cried out, for they all saw him and were troubled. And immediately he talked with them and saith unto them, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. Now watch the next couple of verses. And he went up unto them into the ship, and the wind ceased, and they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure and wondered. Okay, so what did the Lord Jesus Christ show there? Not only the ability to walk on water, but he also had power over what? The weather, and over the waves. So another miracle. Now look at 52. They've seen a couple of things here, actually three things in a row. The feeding of the 5,000, walking on water, the wind ceasing after it was raging. 52. For they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was what? Yeah, so I put down here in my notes, missing the miracle led to a hard heart. You know, that can happen to me and you. You can miss what God's doing right around you, and it can lead to a hard heart. I think that's probably Pharaoh's case. All these miracles happening around him, and somehow he missed them. He missed that it was the Lord, and only the Lord could have done those things. Because remember, he'd get his magicians to try to duplicate everything. He wasn't impressed. And that led to a hardening of Pharaoh's heart. So let's wrap some things up here. Rightly dividing signs, wonders, and miracles. I'll give you there's three little thoughts here to wrap up here. Number one, signs, wonders, and miracles were primarily for what group of people, folks? Hopefully you got this tonight. The Israelites, yes. And when I say, you say Jew, Israelite, same thing. Hebrew, Jew, Israelite. Talk about the same group of people. Primarily for the Israelite, and God gave them signs, wonders, and miracles so that they would believe. They would be convinced that God was doing something in their presence. Okay, so that's number one. Signs, wonders, miracles primarily for Israel. Number two, signs, wonders, and miracles from the time of Moses all the way through the book of Acts were a bunch of physical acts, weren't they? There were physical things happening. God performs miracles today. They're just of a different type. What are they? They're spiritual. And I say spiritual. This kind of crosses over into the physical and spiritual. I'll give you a couple here. First of all, this book I got right here is a miracle. Wouldn't you say? 66 books. They all are units. Supernaturally, miraculously preserved by God through the centuries. The fact that you have in English God's perfect words in your lap is a miracle. Spiritual book, but it's manifested physically, isn't it? I think that's a little miracle you got right in front of you. Are you saved? Is it salvation a miracle? You better believe it. Salvation's a miracle. You go from death to life. You go from having the wrath of God on you to the wrath of God is removed and you got eternal life and you don't have to worry about your sins anymore, do you? They're paid by Jesus Christ. Miracle! Hello! Right? Let me just share with you a miracle. I didn't share this the other day and I should have, so I'll tell it now. This is a miracle. This is a spiritual miracle. Graduation last Friday night at our school. I'm having to hang around a long time after to make sure everything is locked up and lights off and all that good stuff. So they have a Jewish ministry meets on Friday night. Those people were still around. They were still hanging around, wrapping up. But on the other side of the building was inside the cleaning lady and outside me. Now this is only the Lord. I think this is a miracle. Spiritual realm here. I'm walking outside. Actually, I checked the outside doors to make sure they were locked. And I'm about to go around the side of the building. Actually, I'm a little ways from turning, but I'm going that direction. And a car pulls up. Guy hops out of the car. And I can tell he's very unsettled. And he says to me, he says, "Hey, is the they have a ministry that meets on Friday nights normally, but last Friday they didn't have it because we had the graduation." He said, "Hey, are they meeting tonight?" I was like, "No, man, they couldn't meet tonight because of the graduation." He's like, "Hey, I need to talk to somebody." So long story short, here's what he told me. He says, "I need to get right with God," in so many words. Has this ever happened to you? This is one in a million. Where somebody just out of nowhere says, "I need to get right with God. I am sick," and he, in so many words, he said, "I am sick of what's happening in my life. I'm tired of carrying around my sin. I need to get right with God." So he says to me, "I think I was reborn here before." I said, "Well, what does that mean to you?" He goes, "I know that Jesus is the key." I said, "Okay, yeah. He's the key to God." And I was like, "Okay, yeah." And then he said something about Jesus that was quite not right. So I took him through. I didn't have a Bible in my hand, so I just pulled up my phone. I said, "Hey, let me show you the verses here." So we went through the gospel. The fact that Christ died for your sins, buried, rose again. Showed him a couple of verses in Romans. And I said, "Hey, man, we can get this settled right now if you want." I said, "Would you like to pray to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior?" And he said, "Yeah." This whole thing, I'm in the right place at the right time. I didn't plan this. This guy just shows up. This will probably never happen the rest of my life again. I mean, praise God it did. This is a miracle. So I said, well, hey, you want to pray or would you like to help me to help you with a prayer? He's like, man, I don't know what to say. So I helped him out and he said a prayer and we got done. I said, hey, man, according to the Bible, you are right now. You're saved. Your sins are forgiven. And I said, do you feel any different? I said, you don't have to feel different. He goes, I feel so much better now. And it's like this guy had been carrying all this around. And he knew he needed to unload it, but he wasn't exactly sure what to do. And I just happened to be in the right place at the right time. That is the Lord. I think that's a miracle. That is not a miracle like the Red Sea parting or somebody being raised from the dead. But that is a miracle. That guy was raised. He was spiritually dead. Now he's spiritually alive. Amen. So see, the Lord does these things. He just doesn't do things like we may think that he has to do today like he did before. But miracles still occur. It's just of a spiritual nature. Okay, you with me? Oh, by the way, how about this? The guy says to me, man, I need to get baptized. I didn't say a word about getting baptized. He goes, can I get baptized tomorrow? I was like, hey, it was actually Friday. He goes, can I get baptized on Sunday? I said, well, hey, I will reach out to the guy who directs this ministry that normally meets, and I'll let him know that what happened here. Okay, so I reached out to him the next night, and I didn't know what was going to happen. He said he's going to go to church. He sends me a text message video on Sunday of him getting baptized. It's amazing. People are still getting saved. Amen. So just amazing. Yeah, and then he texts me. We text back and forth on Memorial Day, and yeah, just really neat. So spiritual miracles occur, just not like you would see in the Old Testament with the physical realm. Number three here, last thing here. Actually, that was it. Number two. I just had two things there to wrap up on. Number one, signs, wonders, and miracles primarily for the Israelites. Signs, wonders, and miracles from Moses through the book of Acts were primarily physical, but God performs miracles today in the spiritual realm. Then I had salvation and the Word of God being God's miracles we've got today. What do you think? Okay, so here's what I'm planning on for next week. I want to take a look at how God used specific miracles in the Old Testament for purposes associated with Israel. And we may even make our way into the Gospels next week. And then I want to take a week and go through a bunch of the things in Acts. And then we'll take a week and talk about the ministry of the Antichrist in connection with signs, wonders, and miracles. Folks, the modern day charismatic movement is preparing people to receive the Antichrist. 100%. I'll show you that. That's the purpose of it. So I hope that helps you out, and hopefully the next few weeks we'll learn some things that will help us. Hey, you want to see things in our world clearly, don't you? You don't want to be tricked. You don't want to be deceived. Understanding the role of signs, wonders, and miracles in the Bible and today and in the future will help you clear some things up so you're not deceived and confused when it comes to these things and when people ask you questions today. Okay, let's pray together here. We'll be dismissed. Thank you, Lord, for folks that are here, thank you for showing us some incredible things here. And I pray that in the weeks ahead, we would glean some wonderful truths from the scriptures about signs, wonders, and miracles. I do ask for myself and everyone that you would just clear things up so we would have no doubt as to the role of these things in the past and even in the future and how they'll be used deceitfully. May we all be armed with truth in the weeks ahead so that we are better equipped for service for you. And Lord, I do ask that you would continue to show us some salvation miracles here in the days and weeks ahead with our folks right here just being in the right place at the right time, speaking up boldly for you, and being able to lead people to know Jesus Christ. What an awesome thing that is. What a miracle it is to be able to do that. And I just pray you'd help us tonight. Keep us safe as we go away from here in the rest of this week. Keep us safe both physically and spiritually. May we truly trust you for all of our needs, whether they be great or small. And we ask this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.